Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
Here's a story I didn't expect, and it's right here in Chicago. Chicago lags behind the national average for census reporting.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
This is Mayor Lightfoot.
And I'm happy to report, I'm calling out the census cowboy.
His name's Adam Hollingsworth. He's a 33-year-old Chicagoan. The dreadhead cowboy is a thing.
You kicking, stinky horse manure smelling you.
If you see the census cowboy coming to your neighborhood, that's not a good thing.
Ride it. They say ride it like a cowboy.
People will go up to this guy. Hey, you're on a horse. Why are you on a horse? Well, I'm on a horse to get you to fill out the census.
When you go to buy a horse, when a horse is born, a horse will be born in the most prominent months for horses being born are February and March. Every horse's birthday is New Year's Day.
He gravitated to horses for therapeutic reasons, fell in love with it, found some purpose, then started to try and spread that feeling and share that in communities he thought would benefit from it. And now he's employed by the city, and he's going to help spread a very, very important message. That is a cool story.
I was totally prepared to mock the census cowboy. Now I can't. I like it. Can I get it, Troy Aikman? I like it, Danny.
You like it? I like it.
You look like a cowboy, huh?
I don't want to be a cowboy.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
An official fan show of the census cowboy. 4 for 4. We stand the census cowboy. What up, Speaks?
Spirit is his horse's name. Adam Hollingsworth's horse is named Spirit. And like Mike Francesa mentioned in there, his birthday is the 1st of January. We should do something. We should send something to Spirit for his birthday on January 1.
On New Year's 1. Day?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mike.
That's a good idea.
And as always, when Francesa reminds us that all horses have a birthday on the 1st of January, I think about the party and just how big the space needs to be, the spatial problems and logistics for a party for all those damn horses.
Yeah, what about the happy birthday song? Like on the third verse when it's happy birthday too and you say the name? There's so many names. What are you going to do?
Man, you're so horrific musically. That's not the third verse, Danny. That's the third line of the song. Each line is a thing. A verse is like the whole group of lines. Like,
well, yeah, but so that's a one verse song?
Yes. How old are you now might be considered verse two of Happy Birthday.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Yes. Well, I mean,
no.
There's no, yes.
Which one of us knows more about music?
Can we get a poll? Can we get a poll question together?
All right, yeah. Fine. How many verses
are in Happy Birthday?
Are in the Happy Birthday song?
One.
And then I would say four. Right. Happy birthday
just,
to you.
Don't,
one.
Just one? Take the L. Just take the L, man. It's all right.
Really?
I know it's early. I know it's 2:04, but take your first L. It's okay.
It's early for my first L of the day. First L of the show, let's be honest.
other L's already? Sure, you got a 6-month-old there. I'm sure
you're married.
There's a baby. Things wrong already. You're both at home. Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. Why'd you do this? I don't know. Okay, that's not a good enough explanation.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Didn't really think about it too much. My bad.
I was thinking about Owen's big developmental leap yesterday, where I believe he turned 90 degrees in one direction or another and approached station number 2 of one of those standing circular play machine things. That's a big moment for Owen, and apparently for
Evan!
You.
It was a big moment. It's cool, man. You're home every day. You see the little developmental things. And the other night, Steph was out to dinner with a friend. I don't know if I told you this on air, off air, or not at all, but like, I was in charge of putting him to sleep.
Ooh, and how'd that go?
Well, it's fine. I'm normally in charge of the nighttime routine, but he just decided he's now a stomach sleeper. And so, but they say you got to put him down on their, you got to put him to sleep on their back, for because it greatly reduces the chance of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Yeah. But once they are consciously turning from their back to their stomach,
that's a good thing.
Then it's safe to let them sleep on their stomach. Yeah. But so I don't know if he's doing it subconsciously. I'm like, oh, is he just rolling over? So I'm in there and he's on his back, and then he rolls over on his stomach, and then I put him back on his back, and it was this back and forth, and I was holding my finger up to his nose to be sure he was breathing.
Oh my God.
I'm like, the mom isn't here.
That's worth a phone call. That's a phone call to interrupt dinner. I would suggest, but no, did you not?
No phone call. I was hyper vigilant. I wanted to be sure that he was on his stomach. He was still breathing. I was monitoring. And when she got home, I had a yes, absolutely. And my anxiety levels were maybe slightly heightened for any reason, potentially. I maybe had a lot of fruit that day.
Too much indica in the blend.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be. But I was like, man, this is a big developmental milestone, but I want to prove to my wife that I can handle it. That she can go out to dinner with a friend and the baby will be alive when she comes home. And I gave her a full rundown of his turning over capabilities.
That's good. That's good. So that should buy you goodwill that lasts, I don't know, 2 hours, 3 hours, dude, something like that.
Whoever said that about relationships, like, well, when you do a good deed, you're accruing points.
Uh-huh. No.
You're paying off past debts.
Well,
that's what it really is.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it depends on your makeup. Like when Christine and I were dating, it was like we would go out and have a great date, right? Have a great night. And I'm like, man, that is awesome. She would go home. I'd go home. Next day, it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm feeling great about things. She texts. She's like, "Are you gonna check in with me at all today? Were you gonna call me all today?"
No, I'm still basking in the glow of our great date. That doesn't buy me 24 hours,
right? And then since then, we've established the communication. A great night like that can hold me at the time, especially 2 days, 3 days. Like I'm good.
Easy.
I'm good. I can play video games and hang out with my boys and do whatever, you know. And she's like, "Oh no. Once that happens, then it's over. It's over, and we move on to the next day." I'm like, "Damn it."
Yeah.
I thought I was buying some time here. It's not the way
you
it works.
You start over at zero.
Yes.
We took family photos on Sunday, which is, of course, lovely. Right? I'm happy to do it.
This caveat is
nope. I want to come across as sincere as I can.
Sure.
The photos, I'm sure, are going to be excellent. We got a little teaser, email. Yesterday, they look beautiful. Yeah. We haven't been able to take professional photos since we left the NICU because of COVID. So we went, and it was lovely. Mm. Not my favorite thing to do on a 77-degree summer weekend day with a nice little breeze.
No, but these days, I mean, considering the schedule of everybody, you should be able to knock that out at about 10:30 on a Wednesday.
That's what I thought. I thought that would have been a totally reasonable time to get that done. I didn't think that needed to be Sunday morning. But
sure. But who are you? Just
who
the
am
husband.
I?
Just
yeah, the yeah, yeah. And so what? You're
third.
So nice.
You're third,
dude. And sometimes I'm fourth. She loves Omar.
All right. So you're at the pictures.
And well, I'm at the pictures. But when I told people that this is what I was doing, the response was like, oh. Look at you, husband of the year. That's really, you're really accruing some credit. You're really going to be able to cash that in for something good. I'm like, are none of you married? Do any of you have any idea how this works? But no, I'm really excited about those pictures, and I'll be sure to send them to you, and I'm hoping that maybe they'll be the Christmas card. Yeah, yeah. I forget that she's in the other room and we only have a two-bedroom condo and she can hear me. Yeah. I love those pictures. You looked beautiful. I was glad we did it, and I was happy to miss golf for it, baby.
How are you, baby?
I love you. Okay, there she goes.
Textures are alarmed at the musical ignorance of you thinking that Happy Birthday, Dear Blank was the third verse of the Happy Birthday song.
Is it not?
It's the third line of the one and only verse of the Happy Birthday song. Can I suggest you go home and listen to American Pie? I think there are maybe 13 or 15 verses in American Pie. And by verse 7, you'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. I've heard this before. It's just the words are different, but it's the same thing. Okay, yeah. Now I got it. All righty.
All right, fine. So it's a one-verse song. That's lame.
I think so.
And that's not a song. It's a poem.
It's yeah, I don't know.
How do you feel about that?
You know what? I want to give it to you so we can just move on. You know?
To what? What more important do we have to do?
Excuse me, sir, but there is a simulated baseball game on Marquee tonight. Both sides of town are getting in on this simulated game hotness, and people from throughout the country, nay, throughout the world, tuned in yesterday to see Sox versus Sox on the YouTube channel. I saw that Chuck Garfine shared a little screen cap of where people were watching from. We're all so starved for sporting activity of the kind that we like. You know, we can't all just toggle to golf and root on Colin Murikawa like you did on Sunday. Did I get the name right?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Oh, sweet. Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, we're starved, man. We got to preview the first broadcast of a sim game from Wrigley at Marquee tonight. On Sunday is Sox versus Cubs right here on The Score with Zach Zaidman doing the pregame.
And to see our guys come out there and kick some Cub ass.
That's what Hawk is looking for, and Tannehill, apparently. So,
well,
yeah,
listen,
game
that,
on,
that's
baby.
That's exciting.
I agree.
Sunday, you know why? Because everybody gets The Score. I can't watch this Cubs game tonight, okay? It's not on my television.
I could loan you my login credentials, Danny. Actually, no, because then they might not work for me, so forget that.
Yeah, how does that work? Is it like Netflix where 17 people can share an account?
I don't know.
I'll try. Let's try.
Or MLB TV, I think, is still that way as well. Where, like, I have a buddy in Portland who watches games via MLB TV, but I shouldn't say anything. Tannehill, is that right?
Down low.
Okay, dump that. Thank you very much.
I think we're fine.
They won't ever know. They won't ever care or know anything that's like imperfect about their product. They will never acknowledge it.
No,
yeah, they're
even
not
if
fixing
it costs
any
them
problems.
Money. Yeah,
they're not good at keeping tabs on things and then making things better. They don't appear to be very good at that as a task. Although they made a deal yesterday. Did you see? They made a deal with the players. They agreed that all vesting options would be prorated. So John Lester and so many others have a chance to have their option year vest. It won't for Lester, and I'm sure it won't for a lot of others, but they prorated things. So, like, Andrew Miller, instead of having to appear in however many games it was, now has to only appear in 14 games and his contract vest. They agreed on something, Parkins. That's the lead. You know?
That's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm for a convoluted baseball labor negotiations point in a season that might not happen. Congratulations, Matt Spiegel, my positive vibe baseball provider. That's excellent. That's well done. No, it's very good. Hey, do you find yourself missing sports in the same way that you thought you were going to miss sports 120 days ago? Because your sport is supposed to be up and running right now, and I know what I've done to replace it. It hasn't been my first choice, so I am missing sports personally more recently for the escapism, because I've found like there's just been a lot of serious things happening in my life, and so at the end of a day when I want to, you know, just kind of get the plane in the air, as Mac likes to say, and veg out with something, there's only so many new shows you can watch, so I am personally starting to miss sports in a more substantial way recently. But I gotta say, it had until the last 3-4 weeks, it hasn't been as bad for me as I thought it was going to be. What about you, Mr. Baseball?
I'm starting to taste it. So things have shifted for me, because with all the news and then that light bulb that went on last week during our week together, where I realized, oh, wow, oh wait a minute. No, they're actually going to do this. Whether they finish or not, we'll see. But They're going to do this. Baseball is steamrolling ahead. We're getting games on the 23rd. We're getting two games. The 24th, Cubs and Sox play. So yeah, no, I'm starting to taste it. And the way that the NBA is running their bubble, the more I hear about that, my concerns for that are also a few weeks down the road after they get done with those initial six teams. They send them home, and then eight more teams go home. Then when it's time for conference semis, and they welcome people in, like some friends and some family, I'm like, that seems dangerous. But, you know, so maybe there's concern there. But aren't you tasting it? Like, even the Blackhawks talking about how life without Corey Crawford, they're genuinely preparing for a series without Corey Crawford. Games are coming, baby.
Yeah, games are coming. And that, I think, is contributing to ratcheting up the excitement for me also. I guess I just, so many things took precedent over sports recently, both whether you want to talk about like serious family stuff or being a new dad, but then also just life things like following the news and concern for fellow man and stuff like that, that it was, it made sports feel very unimportant, and they always were and still will continue to be. But recently I have craved the escapism, the normalcy,
yeah, man,
and just the companionship, man. Like not necessarily like your companionship with baseball, but it's a
just a game. Just having a game on, so you don't feel alone. It's connection. It absolutely
and
is.
Just the conversation, the ability to.
Did you see that? Yes,
I did. Did you see that? That simple. Instead of the text chain being, did you see that horrifying 15,000 cases in Florida, or did you see that terrible viral video of Karen in a shopping mall refusing to wear a mask, or what the president said, or like this, that, you know what I mean? Like all these things that have a serious undertone. The did you see that of Justin Thomas hitting a 50-foot birdie putt,
of course,
and then Colin Morikawa answering with a 24-foot birdie putt in a playoff of a golf match.
Yep.
It, even if you don't care at all about it, it was a great four-minute sports stretch, and I was like, oh, man.
Got the juice.
Yeah, missing it. Like, missing that type of ultimately irrelevant but very satisfying release. Like, whatever that is for you, I found myself missing it more recently than I had for the previous 100 days.
I understand.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think on our best days as hosts, we're gathering sort of news and lists and ratings and things like that that will just sort of approximate that feeling. For instance, when we hopped on the text line today, you, me, and Shep and Tanny, I wanted to know if you guys had seen this particular baseball article. And I was ready to talk about it with you, but you haven't. So now I'm ready to talk about it with you on the air. And that excites me. Like, this is the replacement for what we have not had. I completely agree. That's why I genuinely thought that was cool to see a White Sox sim game yesterday. And I genuinely think it's cool that to tune in if you have it, watch it if you have it, to Marquee tonight for a sim Cubs game. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it. What the hell? Got to try something. Got to try something.
And to quote
Give me
Danny,
something.
I will exactly. Give me something, Daniel Descalso. I won't yuck another man's yum, but I am very consistent with this. Sports with no consequence, I don't care about them. I don't like spring training. I don't like preseason football. It's just very tough for me to get into it. And so this thing tonight, I don't personally, I would rather rewatch an episode of The Sopranos personally. But as soon as you give me anything that matters, I think I'm going to be there every second possible.
One flaw to your theory, or maybe not a flaw, but I guess it's a question. Has there been adjustment to what you think actually matters and has consequence in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so does any sports have matter and have consequence when compared to the greater good? No. So we're still back.
Well, that's what I was saying at the beginning. That's why when everything shut down, I was pretty quick to say, like, whoo, Don't miss sports. Can't be doing sports when this is all happening. The world is burning all around us, and we're failing the test at being fire extinguishers. Like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, it was, yeah. So the idea of, like, oh, God, how many more games does Jim Boylan have as Bulls coach? I did not interested, did not matter, could not get my brain into a place of even pretending to care. But now, when we've started to learn to live with it a little bit, even if we're still failing the test, and again, I will admit and just be transparent on the radio, like, Brad started his radiation treatment yesterday. His son, my nephew, loves the NBA. He's a diehard Bucks fan. I want them to be able to watch the Bucks games together and watch the NBA playoffs, and for me to, like, be able to connect with my nephew in that way, and like have something for them to do together at night and put a ball game on and distraction. Like, sports as escapism from COVID is what it was society at large needs. But for, like, me personally, I need the escapism. I've learned to live with doing the radio show from my living room and me and my wife being confined in a small space and, like, you know, doing the pictures on a Sunday morning and, like, you know, getting over that sort of stuff or whatever. But, like, the escapism from the serious stuff that's going on in my own personal life in addition to the world at large.
That's the value. That's the value.
Hell yeah, it's the value, man. I really could use sports, personally.
Our old friend Barry Rosner used to always say, sports matters because it doesn't matter. You know?
It's beautiful.
Right? It's something to really lean into, even though it doesn't matter. It gives you something to lean into. Well, we got a lot of stuff today. I mentioned that baseball article that I read that I'm excited to run by you guys. Michael Kopech, what he's going to do is not without precedent in terms of the volume of time that he will miss. And I have just recently, mere moments ago, had my mind blown when it comes to the official lyrics and verse total for Happy Birthday.
Whoa! Mind is it possible blown. That I was right?
No. Oh, no.
Oh, okay. No, no, no.
Oh, no.
Well, then I'm not interested. That's ridiculous. Hubarkish at 4 o'clock. We go inside the NBA bubble at 4:30, and Spiegs wants to test our knowledge of his game. Yes, Omar, it's very exciting. We'll do that coming up. It's Mack and Parkins with Spiegs in on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We are joined by Lucas Giolito. For you tonight, what was the most important sequence?
Oh, Jason, I don't know.
This segment on The Score brought to you by Northern Illinois Food Bank. Spiegs is in for Mack. It's Mack and Parkins on The Score. We were talking about how you feel about sports, missing it more than you thought, less than you thought, now that it's right around the corner to attempt to come back. And varying responses on the text line, but a lot of people do seem to be aligned with you, just that, like, since it's close, it's like they got used to not having it, and now that it's almost here, it's like approaching a vacation or Christmas morning or something like that, where the anticipation builds as you actually get closer to the day.
Yeah, that's certainly the way it feels to me. As I've continued to learn about the logistics of the NBA bubble, that's starting to have that sense of inevitability as well. I mean, they're doing a pretty damn good job on lockdown, and I'm looking forward to talking to Ben Golliver about that later on today, as we will.
Yeah, 2 hours from now, 4:30.
All right, so 2 hours from now, we get to check in the bubble. You've been wanting a bubble correspondent, and just the way that they're doing it and what they did, like, they turned ballrooms into practice facilities. Yeah, you know, like, just completely taking over. It's amazing when you have a complex of that size with that many hotel rooms and that many facilities. And, oh, by the way, there are three worthy qualifying places to play an NBA-caliber basketball game. It is amazing that they had a place that fit to the T like that. And as long as the Disney promos keep scaring the bejesus out of people,
yes,
then those they're not going to lack for space.
Though Shams Charania is minutes ago reporting the NBA insider for Stadium and The Athletic, multiple tips have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus.
Uh-oh!
Snitching.
Well, already, like, we saw, who was it? It was Donovan Mitchell and somebody else were, like, hanging out together, and they put it on the gram, you know?
Yeah. Well, they had playing ping pong, but they're allowed to do – some guy crossed over some sort of barrier to get delivery food.
Rashawn
and then his
Holmes.
Mom admonished him on social media, saying the only reason to leave quarantine is for your mom's cooking, and I'm not in Florida. So yeah, guys are learning. They're learning the rules, and we'll see if they can follow it. But speaking of excitement, you said in light of being able to say, "Hey, did you see that game last night?" You can now have, "Hey, did you see that article about that potential game last night?" What do you have for us? Because you want to quiz us on your game.
Very common conversation. Who are the best pitchers in baseball? Who are the true aces in baseball? Just because you're the number one starter doesn't mean you're an ace. Have had this conversation for decades, really. How many true aces are there in the game? Sometimes people say 10 to 15. Sometimes people say 7 or 8. Well, your old buddy Andy McCullough and Mark Carrig did a very complete and thorough survey of a bunch of different people in the industry to find out who the industry itself believes are the true aces in baseball. Some of the panelists have been in the game for decades, baseball lifers who from the scouting side. Some are part of the relatively new data influx around the game. There's a lot of top-level decision makers, frontline talent evaluators, and a few people have been both player and executive. So they polled 20 different people. They gave them a pool of the 60 pitchers, 60 starting pitchers, at the top of the wins above replacement, according to Fangraphs from last year. They added in Dallas Keuchel because he didn't throw enough innings to qualify. So anyway,
And they broke them down into tiers, right? They asked the executives or whomever to break them down into tiers and the aces, and then what were the other tiers?
True aces is number one. Applicants, they called it. A pitcher who has the potential to graduate into the elite group but hasn't quite gotten there yet. Or maybe they were there and they're capable of getting there again. Then tier three, number twos and threes. So guys, you just like, that's a two and a three in a rotation. And the fourth tier is just a guy. Just a guy. Now, okay. It should be said, here's their definition of an ace. The sort of pitcher you build a franchise around. An ace stays healthy during the marathon of the season, pitches well enough to carry the club into October. Ace is the pitcher you want on the mound in game 7. And you know what you can expect from your ace the next season. More of the same, if not better. So that's a very high standard.
Well, I mean, I remember actually talking to Andy McCullough, and I asked, this was in, I don't know, 2014. And I was like, so James Shields is the Royals ace. And he said, no. He's their number one starter. He's their opening day starter. But ace is a scouting term. There aren't 30 aces in baseball.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. You're right. But that's kind of smug. okay. So aces, right?
How many true aces?
And you're looking for unanimous, right? All 20 people said they were unanimous.
The only aces are the ones who received unanimous ratings from every one of the 20 respondents.
Yes. Okay. So Max Scherzer had to have been unanimous.
Max Scherzer is an ace.
Jacob DeGrom.
Is an ace. Chris Tannehill.
Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole is an ace.
Who'd you say, Shep?
Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler is not an ace. Walker Buehler is number one in the next tier of applicants. They say he hasn't quite done it long enough, but he is at the very top spot of when the current generation of aces fades. You'll be talking about Walker Buehler that way. And Walker Buehler, by the way, always makes me think of Carson Fulmer because they were teammates on Vanderbilt, and Carson Fulmer went number 8 in the draft, and Walker Buehler went number 24.
What? Strasburg?
Strasburg is not considered an ace by these guys. That's the one that shocked me the most, Danny. He's right below Buehler. For all the hype surrounding him, his evolution into an ace has been, in the words of an exec, kind of boring. So can he be a one? But I don't have the confidence level to know what's going to be there every time, every year.
Do they have in the story how many of the 20 did have him as an ace?
16.
Okay.
16 okay. Votes for Strasburg out of a possible 20. He and Walker Buehler are the only guys who were in double-digit votes who did not make the ace level. There's one more obvious one. What's that?
Or Verlander?
Verlander's the obvious one. So that's four. And guess what? That's it. Four true aces. Four unanimous votes for aces by everybody around the league. Lower
Scherzer,
than
Scherzer, Cole, DeGrom, and Verlander.
Yep. And then the next group is Bueller, Strasburg, Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals, Blake Snell, Luis Castillo of the Reds, Chris Sale because he's hurt and you don't know what to expect, and his ERA was well over three this last time that he did pitch. And then a couple guys on the come, Shane Bieber, Jose Berríos. I would have put Jose Berríos up there, but the numbers aren't quite there yet. Aaron Nola, Noah Syndergaard. I'm giving you names. Mike Clevinger. All those guys are in that second tier. And then we get to our first Chicago player at that point.
So, to me, there's only two options.
What about Danks?
Yeah, it could be Danks. Could be Danks. You're right. So, three options. It's got to either be the guy who was closest to it last year, Giolito, or Darvish, right? I mean, Darvish is – he's got ace stuff, and he had an ace stretch, but not consistently.
No, I don't think you'd put
it's
him in
Giolito?
That. It's Giolito. Giolito is in the upper echelon of this applicant pool. He's shown the ability to excel. They talk about his adjustments that he made. He went from the dumpster to being their best guy, but it's about doing it again and getting a taste of the postseason. And here's the challenge of becoming an ace is not just about having one good season. That's fair. That's fair. I consider Giolito to be as good as any of these guys, and I have faith that he will do it again, but I get,
you
understand.
Have, you consider Giolito to be as good as Blake Snell or Strasburg or Walker Bueller?
Right there. I consider him to be, I mean, he hasn't done it in as many years, but I consider him to be as good as Aaron Nola. He had a better year than Aaron Nola.
But just 2 years ago was awful, and last year was incredible. So that's the definition of small sample, right?
It's a question of whether you believe it's lasting or not. I think there's so many concrete examples of Giolito's transformation, not the least of which is mechanical and pitch selection, where he just ditched he ditched the two-seam fastball completely. He threw it all the time, and then he threw it not at all because he found what worked, and now he's throwing what works. So I believe that'll stick there, but I understand the hesitancy.
Yeah, believing it'll stick or not, like these baseball guys, right? If they only have four who are unanimous aces, they're gonna need more of a sample on Giolito. So Darvish isn't in that second tier then.
He is. I don't believe he's in that. No, he's not. So Giolito, by the way, is between Mike Clevinger and Mike Soroka. Then there's Clayton Kershaw, which is interesting because that runs the gamut from fourth tier to first among the people who voted.
Oh, he got votes on all four tiers.
Isn't that crazy, considering where Kershaw is? And yes, then you go down to the next category is twos and threes. Zach Greinke, Trevor Bauer is there. Zach Wheeler is there. Max Fried, Hyungjun Ryu, James Paxton, Mike Minor, Sonny Gray, Matthew Boyd, Marcus Stroman, Brandon Woodruff, Yu Darvish. There's Yu Darvish.
Hendricks has to be in the twos and threes.
Right after Darvish. And Hendricks, your first two Cubs, are right next to each other in terms of votes for twos and threes. They are between Brandon Woodruff of the Brewers and Madison Bumgarner of the Diamondbacks, ahead of Masahiro Tanaka, ahead of Lance Lynn, just a couple of spots ahead of Reynaldo Lopez for the White Sox.
Ridiculous.
Well, but that's how people feel about his stuff.
Were you not listening to your own show, Danny, on Friday? What did our guy James McCann say about Reynaldo?
He said he's been great. Said he's looking good. Doesn't think he's going to make the same one. He doesn't want to put the Giolito thing on him. But, yeah, he thinks he's ready to make the leap. Reynaldo Lopez does have great talent and stuff and flashes, but a couple spots lower than Kyle Hendricks? That seems lofty.
A few spots lower. One spot lower than Lance Lynn, ahead of Kenta Maeda, ahead of David Price. Lopez.
Come on. That's ridiculous.
Thing. Well, you know, we'll see. He's going to be a mover on this list. He's either going to go down and they'll write him off, or he's going to be a guy that learns to not freak out when a bad inning happens or a home run happens, he's going to learn to be a guy to really focus and concentrate, and he's going to jump up on this list.
Wait, so Ronaldo Lopez is above Dallas Keuchel?
Dallas Keuchel is a few spots below Ronaldo Lopez.
Sox fan would say they have more faith in Ronaldo Lopez this year than Dallas Keuchel.
The upside, but the pitching is a difficult thing to talk about because the upside for what Lopez might do is higher than the upside for what Keuchel might do in terms of
dominance. Yeah, the floor is way lower.
Yes, right.
Right? His variance is way, way wider than what you should reasonably be able to expect from Dallas Keuchel.
Dallas Keuchel right near a group that includes Jake Odorizzi of the Twins, Cole Hamill, the Braves, Miles Mikolas of the Cardinals. And then you get to the category of just guys. Just guys. So there's only three White Sox on the whole list. We gave them to you. They're all in the twos and threes category, with Giolito the best. There is one or two Cubs.
Quintana. You're welcome.
Two Cubs in the twos and threes category, and then very close to each other, Jose Quintana and John Lester in the just a guy category, around the likes of Kyle Gibson of the Rangers, John Means of the Orioles, Michael Pineda, Unibal Sanchez. I believe it's pronounced.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. All right. Well, then that's it. That's a lot of compelling information. I want to like put a point on it. I got a question for you then, as you relate to the two rotations on either side of town. We'll do it next on The Score.
Who's the pitchers in this game?
All right, Speak. So which rotation is better, Cubs or Sox? Keep in mind the Quintana injury, obviously. I'm very down on the Cubs rotation outside of Darvish and Hendricks. Makes me not very optimistic about the squad. I would say White Sox.
Man, with no Kopech in the mix, it levels it off. I would have said White Sox for sure. If Kopech was going to be in that mix as a four and a five, a four or a five. It's probably still White Sox. Gio Gonzalez's turnaround in Milwaukee was really good, and due to Yasmani Grandal, who he has to work with again. Great piece in the Sun-Times on Saturday, I think it was, or Sunday, by Steve Greenberg about Yasmani Grandal, by the way, White Sox fans should read. With Keuchel and Gio and then Giolito at the top and the potential of Lopez and Cease, yeah, I'd rather have the White Sox rotation. Right now?
For this year, too, right? Not just for the future. It's obvious that you'd rather have them with Kopech coming back and, like you said, Cease and Giolito and just the ceiling being so high. But for this year, mm-hmm. I think that they have a little bit better one because we were – and I was going to be working Monday, but now I'm not. And so the next time that Mac and I work will be after baseball is scheduled to start. We had been trying to come up with – 7 good Cubs Sox bets, and so we probably won't get all of those done before I leave, which is fine. Shep will be my, you know, my Cubs consigliere on that. But one of the ones that I liked was straight up Giolito v. Darvish, who has more strikeouts. They pitched virtually the same number of innings last year, and they were one strikeout apart from last year. So, and because I think Giolito is obviously awesome. I just think there's a very good chance he regresses 10%, 15% from last year. But I think that's very close at the top for ones in the rotation.
I don't see him regressing. I see him dialing it in even more, Giolito. I think he could have a better year. I mean, obviously it's going to be very difficult to comp because the rate stats will be on a lot less innings, et cetera. I think the quality of his stuff and control of his job as a pitcher is going to be at an even higher level this year. Dude clicked, and he's there. Darvish, I would still probably bet Darvish because he didn't settle in for a while last year. So I think you get the best end of that bet with Darvish because Darvish didn't find that hellacious groove for a while last year until he hit that second half. And when he's rolling, his swing and miss stuff is up there with the very, very best in this entire league. One last thing on that article, because the description of Yu Darvish is classic. Here's the quote: "Darvish might be the most confounding pitcher in the sport." That's of all these pitchers on this list, as the height of his powers, he was during the second half of 2019, few in the game are more capable of pyrotechnic brilliance than how to explain his 4.02 ERA since 2017. That big sample, it's a 4.02, so that's why he's not higher on this list. But stuff-wise, ain't nobody as good except for a very, very scarce few.
I can guarantee you McCullough wrote that. For his time covering him with the Dodgers, you said that article was done by Mark Carrig and Andy McCullough. I can promise you that line on Darvish was written by my guy, Andy McCullough. So you think Giolito has multiple, like a lot of room for growth from last year, which is just, I don't know, man.
I don't know if there's room. Once a guy has the stuff and figures out the right way to do it, and has the attention to detail that and the focus that Lucas clearly has, you know, they can just kind of get there, you know. I think he's somebody who got there, and as long as he's healthy, is going to stay there. I really do.
Sixth in the Cy Young, a 3.41 ERA with a WHIP of just over one. 11.5 strikeouts per nine. Whew. 2 complete game shutouts, 3 complete games. It's a monster year, man.
As long as he's healthy, though, remember that once the whole thing in baseball is about having a plan and knowing how you do well and then adjusting as other people adjust to you. He figured it out with fastball changeup. And remember that first time, I think he went 8 1/3 innings. And I could look up the date, like the day where he threw 4 curveballs out of 105 pitches. He and McCann had figured out, oh, wait, we're just really messing with people when we throw the 4-seamer and then the changeup because they look exactly the same and they can't tell which is which. And as long as we sequence, they can't stop us. That day was the day that I was like, all right, there we go. And then after that, he started to mix back in the changeup if need be. But if not, he would just go away from it. He figured out how to dominate, and now people will adjust, but then he's got other stuff to adjust to, and he's smart as hell and focused, so I think he's there.
Yasiel Puig has signed with the Atlanta Braves, according to Mark Feinstand. I thought, so that's just another team that's really damn talented, getting even stronger right before this. I guess I didn't realize that Puig was
still out there?
Yeah, I don't know. I had missed that iteration, but man. They are the exact type of team, I've been saying this for a month, that absolutely feels like they win this year. Like I said, Yankees, Dodgers, most talented teams that haven't won a World Series together. And then teams like the Astros, the Cubs, the Nationals, teams that have won, that are veterans, that maybe have a lot of guys who have been paid, the Red Sox. I don't know about their motivation level for this year. But then the next tier of teams... The Braves, man. I think that there's a very good chance that the Braves are representing the National League in the World Series this
Extremely year. Talented team. I want to know when Freddie Freeman is coming back, if he is. And also their closer, who they signed, Will Smith. He also tested positive, so you got to wait for those guys to be two negative tests they both have to have until they come back. Yep. And there were two other guys in there. Oh, and then Markakis opted out. That's my only problem with them is that they feel the most affected by COVID at this point. So Puig, I guess, will replace Markakis and give them another DH option. Marcelo Zuna. Remember Marcelo Zuna in left field for the Cardinals? Remember that play on the warning track from Marcelo Zuna where he went back and just kind of jumped for no reason, then fell for no reason.
Yeah, he went back and forgot he was a baseball player.
So Ozuna is probably your DH with Puig playing in the outfield. So it's a good signing by them. They're very much in go-for-it mode.
You need to update us on the breaking news information that you found out about the Happy Birthday song. We'll do that coming up. Plus, everyone's talking about the Bears' skill position, guys. Let's actually try to say where Allen Robinson is compared to other wide receivers. I had a hub at 4 o'clock on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.